Spirit is here among us. The Spirit is here to strengthen us, bringing courage, bringing conviction. May we feel the Spirit as we gather. Friends, Christ said, "Peace I give you, my peace I leave with you." Since we have been gifted Christ's own peace, please turn to your neighbors and greet one another with a sign of that peace. Welcome to you all to Old South Church in Boston. We are 350 years old and part of a grand tradition of engaged Christian life. The idea that church ought to be, that church can be, led by the members of the congregation. That by the gathering of the faithful, wisdom is to be found. By the gathering of the faithful, vision is to be found. And so it is that we live our life of faith and continue on our journey of faith because of you, because of your gifts, because of your giving, because of your brilliance and your time. This place is able to be a sanctuary. And so we are grateful that you are here. Whoever you are, wherever you are on life's journey or the journey of faith, if you believe that Christians ought to treat people as much as they can the way that Jesus treated people, if you believe that church ought to be a community where people can grow in faith together, if you believe that church ought to be a place where matters of public importance are matters of spiritual importance too, then this might be a place that you can call your spiritual home. We invite you to consider as you worship today whether this might become your spiritual home, whether you would join this church, whether you might consider serving the church, whether you might consider making this place your people. We'd love to know who has joined us today. You'll find near at hand a small black pad about yay big. We've stocked it helpfully with paper and pens. If you take a moment and write down your name and some contact information, we will write you back. We'll let you know what is going on in the life of this church, ways that you might be involved in following after God, whether you are here for a day, a week, a month, or whether this becomes your spiritual home. One special announcement for you today. We are a level 2 sanctuary church as a part of the new sanctuary movement, which means that we are committed to supporting the dignity and legal rights of people who have immigrated to this country. This has included in the past volunteer and in-kind and financial support for a man who was under a deportation order and claiming sanctuary inside of Bethel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Jamaica Plain. That individual has since been able to return to living with family because of sound legal counsel and sound grounds for staying in this country. Now, as the news has swirled this week around planned nationwide immigration raids, it is easy to feel helpless. As part of our ongoing commitment to being a level 2 sanctuary church, the Christian Service and Outreach Committee is offering a matching grant of $3,000 for gifts made to the Refugee and Immigrant Center for Educational and Legal Services. This is sometimes called RAICES, R-A-I-C-E-S. This organization provides free and low-cost legal services to immigrants and refugees attempting to navigate this country's immigration system, because whatever else our country's immigration system is, it is legally complex, requiring a professionally trained lawyer in order to interact with it in a sensible way. If you would like to give to this match, you can either put a check into the collection plate during the offering later and write immigrant legal support in the memo line, or you can give online through our website and choose immigrant legal support from the menu on our giving page. This match will continue until we reach our $3,000 match. For now, let us continue in worship in the glory of song.
Our scripture lesson comes from the book of Amos, chapter 7, beginning with the 7th verse. This is what he showed me. The Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, see, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass them by. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Then Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah. Earn your bread there and prophesy there, but never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is a temple of the kingdom. Then Amos answered Amaziah, I am no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I am a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore trees. And the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, go, prophesy to my people, Israel. Now, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. Let us hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Please be seated. And will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It was a time of great stability and prosperity, at least for some. In the 8th century BCE, the kingdoms of Israel and Judah, no longer unified, were also no longer in the midst of civil war. Each nation had a pretty good king, each with a tenure of over 40 years, which in those days was a sign of good leadership. There had been no major threats to the small states from major Near Eastern powers such as Egypt or Assyria, and peace seems to have been accompanied by prosperity, at least for the privileged few, and, according to the prophet Amos, at the expense of many. Amos is the earliest prophet whose words are preserved in the form of a book. Though he hailed from the small Judean town of Tekoa, about 10 miles south of Jerusalem, he prophesied in the northern kingdom of Israel. You may know Amos from such famous lines as, "Let justice roll like a river, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." He was an entirely different kind of prophet. As he himself expressed, he was not a professional prophet or priest like Ezekiel and Isaac. He was a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore trees. He was there on the ground, in the field, getting his hands dirty. And it was from that vantage point that he developed a God-given calling to speak out against the injustices he witnessed and experienced. You see, with peace and prosperity came the emergence of an early form of agricultural feudalism. In Amos's time, there was a big push among the elites to produce export crops and consolidate lands under a centralized authority. Because of the increased push for production, many of the poorer farmers fell into debt and became slaves to the large landowners. The elite got richer, and the poor became slaves. Amos prophesied against this economic system, arguing that the sinfulness of this kind of exploitation was on par with the war crimes committed by neighboring nations. When I think of Amos, I often picture my friend Nate. Nate is an organic farmer who spends most of his year in Oregon growing organic crops and the rest of the year in Washington, D.C., lobbying on behalf of small farmers and lobbying against big businesses like Monsanto and Big Agro. Amos and Nate know too well how greed and profit can drive markets, grind farmers down, and destroy the environment. Amos and Nate are each called by God to hang up their overalls and head to the big city to cry out on behalf of the land and those who farm it. God gave Amos a series of visions, visions that anyone, even a farmer in the field, could understand. The one we read today was the third in the series. The first two visions Amos sees are images of destruction, locusts devouring newly sprouted grass, and fire consuming the earth. But in each case, Amos speaks up as an intercessor on behalf of the people, and God changes God's mind, and God replies that the vision shall not come to pass. The third vision is of God standing beside a wall built with a plumb line, holding a plumb line in his hand. A plumb line. I've read this passage many, many times and have generally just written off a plumb line as some kind of measuring tool used in the construction of a wall, like maybe a fancy measuring tape or an early version of one of those architect's triangles. But this time, I did a little digging, and here's what I found. This is a plumb line. A very simple thing. A string with a weight attached to the end of it. Used in the construction of walls to make sure that everything is lining up vertically. Incidentally, if you want to learn more about plumb lines, I'm told that you can find out much more in the Old South Encyclopedia in the article about the construction of the tower. But back to the plumb line. And so when God stands with a plumb line in his hand, The image conveys God's evaluation of the nation. God is looking to see if everything is on the up and up, if everything is upright. But he finds, in fact, that things are off kilter. The society that's being built up is crooked, top-heavy. It won't bear the weight. And, as God makes clear, it won't stand for long. God establishes a plumb line in the midst of the people, a guiding tool to help us know if we are in line with God's will, if we are living an upright life. We sometimes talk about being reconciled with God, which means more than just strengthening our relationship with God, although that's part of it. In reconciling with God, we're trying to get in line with God's will for our lives, with the plumb line. I kind of like to visualize it like getting your chakras aligned. But basically, it's about getting in line vertically and aligning yourself with God's will for your life. A plumb line is a very simple thing. It doesn't cost anything, and it requires very little. I made this one from things I found around the church. It's a string with a weight, and it can go anywhere. You don't need to use it in the temple. You can use it in the field. You can use it at work. You can use it at school, on the tallest mountains, in the deepest depths. A plumb line uses the force of gravity to work. It only keeps things straight because the weight is pulled down by gravity, a force that we cannot see. Gravity is something that Amos could have never even conceived of. But millennia before Newton and before Amos, God the Creator somehow worked out that we'd need the force of gravity to make this entire creation experiment tick. None of us could have come up with it with our narrow scope. We can't have a full understanding of the laws of nature and of physics from where we stand. But God is big enough to conceive it. That's why we rely on God's guidance, because God's got the whole picture. God sees the full scope. When we rely only on our own understanding to guide our lives, when we can't look beyond our own feet and seek only the best solution in each moment, often we miss the bigger picture. The lives we build start to list. In today's world of instant gratification and disposable happiness, if what we pursue is simply what brings us the most joy, the joy becomes hollow and cannot stand the test of time. If what we seek is popularity or power or success, whatever that means, only for ourselves, that power or success becomes meaningless. But God has set a plumb line amidst the people, a line that connects us to God for all time. It is a plumb line of love. It is a plumb line of celebrating the blessedness of all creation. It is a plumb line of justice for all people, of building up one another, and of building up the rest of God's good creation. That's right. The plumb line is not just a tool for evaluating and determining what needs to be torn down. It is a tool for building up. And when we build ourselves up, build up one another, build up our community in accordance with the plumb line, with the pursuit of justice, with a spirit of love and kindness, with an understanding of humility and our need for God's guidance, then we know that what we build will be strong and sure and stand the test of time. Wherever you stand, whatever chaos swirls around you, however heavy the weight you carry, God's guidance is always available to you. for God has set a plumb line in the midst of the people. Amen.
God of Jesus Christ be with you. Let us give thanks to God, the creator of all things, visible and invisible, powerful beyond measure, good beyond all understanding. Then let us pray. O God, beyond all praising, we worship you today and sing the love amazing that songs cannot repay. For we can only wonder at every gift you send, at blessings without number and mercies without end. We lift our hearts before you and wait upon you, Word. We honor and adore you, our great and mighty God. Eternal and living God, we come before you just overwhelmed by your goodness in our lives, filled to overflowing in gratitude for your love and mercy, and humbled by the very fact that you could love us just as we are. We're quick to thank you for blessings without number and mercies without end. We thank you for the simplicity of a small flower that bloomed in our garden for the first time this week, and things as magnificent as the predictability of the sun's rising and setting and the tides coming and going. We thank you for the rich history that we enjoy here in this grand church, for those who walked before us and set us on the right path so many years ago. We're also quick to remember that there is much hurting in our community of faith. We know it's our responsibility to correct where we can and to lift up them in prayer for your care and your mercy. There were many who left their prayers in our keeping this week in the prayer box as they visited this sanctuary. Those who pray for family needs, for jobs, for peace in their families, for reconciliation of partnerships, for our country and its leaders. We also pray for those in our own church family. Make your presence known in a warm, gentle way to these that we know. For Jenny, for Alice, for Natalie, for Tom, Bettina, for Russ, Kurt, Barbara, for Rodney, Jim, Katia, Marcia, Jenny, and for James Giesler in the loss of his husband, Tim, this week. And in our silence now, we bring those parts of our lives that only you and we know about. These are the secret desires of our hearts, and we bring them to you in our silence. And in community, we join with millions around the world praying the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. In May of 1669, an amazing thing happened. A group of dissenters left their church and formed what would become you. Later, a magnificent edifice was built here in Copley Square in 1875. They did it against all odds, but they needed it. We were outgrowing our space downtown, and in the midst of all the odds against us, they built this church. Amazing. It wasn't easy, but it had to be done. And in the 1930s, when there was a national depression outside these doors and inside, affecting the lives of everyone, even church members, someone put a plumb line to that tower and realized that it was not so straight. And they took it upon themselves in the middle of the depression to spend the money to take the tower down to the street level and rebuild it in a better way. It wasn't easy, but it had to be done. We haven't built a building or a tower lately, but we do many other things as a church in the name of God here every day on this corner of Boylston and Dartmouth. We lovingly care for children in our church school when you leave them in our keeping. We prepare meals for homeless neighbors and teach our children the joy of giving by delivering those meals in person. We invite the world into our doors on a daily basis. It's not easy, but it's necessary, because we have to fulfill our mission to be an open-door congregation. Your gifts, given here and online, however you may give, are so necessary to the upkeep of this vision and the work done here in your name every day. I pray that you will give joyfully and with a grateful heart. The morning's offering will be given and gratefully received. Let us pray together. God, we know that we can never outgive you, but what we have done here today, the money we have given and that we'll give this week, is done in grateful response to your love and your mercy in our lives. We give because it makes glad the heart of God. We give because you showed us how to give. Thank you for every bit that's given this week in money and time and talents, as we continue to try to be the people of the open door, because we know it's not easy, but it's necessary. And we are blessed over and over again for it. Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord in all that we do, and let the whole church say, Amen. Amen.